Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another 90s horror films. This is going to be January of 2022, so happy new year. We are in the new year, and we are really excited. You know, this is going to be a lot of fun. So first of all, I'm here with my buddy, I haven't seen you in person since like your high school years, I guess, you know, or whatever. Like your senior year of high school.
We're not going to talk about how long ago that was, so, you know.
Yes, let's keep that private. But yeah, we haven't seen each other for a little bit. And please welcome Matt Sternberg. How you doing, Matt?
Hey guys.
So I had asked like a group of people. I put out on Facebook like who wants to do 90s horror podcast and whatnot, and you were one of the many people who signed up, which I was not expecting. I actually expected like more would be wanting to do 80s horror films than 90s. But we got, 90s horror films. Matt was one of them, and I gave him a list of a bunch, and he picked this one. So let's bring it over to Matt and tell us a little bit why you chose this one and what about your love of 90s horror.
Yeah, so 90s, I mean, I can see why people would want to, you know, do 80s horror films because, you know, it is like, it's the golden age of slashers, it's the golden age of like a lot of like horror films. But the reason I love 90s horror films is because they got like, they were so kind of crazy and like a hokey sort of way, but it was also very serious and a lot of them were like super well done. Also, it was just like the time when it's like we were growing up. So it's like a lot of these like hold a lot of nostalgia for me. And I think it was funny, a mutual friend of ours, Robbie Smoko, this movie we used to rent on VHS and we used to watch it a lot with a couple other movies like like Parents, I think was one of them. And this
movie Parents, oh man. Yeah. Well, that was 80s, I think, though.
That's 80s, so that's a way, but, like, we used to rent a lot of them, but, like, People Under the Stairs was, like, one of our, like, all-time favorites, and I think a lot of people forget that this was actually done by Wes Craven, but...
It's not his signature type of movie, I guess, or whatever, but, you know, if you look at, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, and you look at a few of his ones that Shocker... in a few ones that he's written himself or whatever, like you could definitely tell it's a Wes Craven project.
True. That is very true. Yeah. It does kind of have his like signature style. And I don't know. I think the characters are just so out there in this one and the vibe. And there's like a lot of like issues that are brought up, like, you know, domestic abuse is like one of them, gentrification. Like Craven was also one of these people that never stirred away from a lot of those issues, but they're done in like a satirical way kind of, but it still kind of holds up today though. Like as I was rewatching it, you know.
Absolutely. I think it actually, honestly, it holds up more now with everything that's going on.
Agreed.
Like, I'm just afraid like Jordan Peele would want to remake it or whatever, and it would just become about the, you know, the political side of it and not right. The funness of it. Because I feel in a way I'm of the minority on this, by the way. Because I know so many people in the horror business loved the new Candyman. I felt like we lost the point of Candyman by putting too much political, you know, stuff into it. You know, I understand like politics go hand in hand with horror, and
sure.
And this was
I get that too.
You know,
I can understand.
This had a lot of political like undertones to it, especially with the, I mean, that's kind of interesting that People Under the Stairs was 91 and Candyman was 92, because I guess they both kind of dealt with poor urban, you know, people dealing with gentrification and other you know, issues that plagued the society at the time. But Candyman is a fun horror film, and people understand this as a batshit crazy fucking movie. You know? Oh,
yeah, it is. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I think what my favorite part about this horror film is probably Roach, who's played by Sean Whalen. He's the one that has his tongue cut off, and he's kind of like crawling through the walls. He's the person on the stairs that like got out, basically. So I don't know. He's been in a lot of other stuff, but he's basically like kind of my favorite part of the movie. And
Roach.
Roach. I will be dressing up as him for Halloween one year. I just haven't gotten around to it. You know.
No, he's I've met him actually. He's really sweet.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he goes to horror conventions all the time, and he's just super nice, you know. And I'm friends with him on Facebook and whatnot. But he's, you know, he's one of those guys that, like, it's funny how he's in so many movies, you know. And and it's funny, he's most recognized for Roach because Roach is such a fun character, and he must have had a blast to play that role. But he's been in so many things. Like, he'll pop up in these movies and I'll be like, wait, was that Sean Whalen? Like, for like 2 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I love it.
He does. He was also in Twister. That's another one I love him from, but that's like not horror related, but like, yeah, no, he's just been in everything, I feel, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a real career, you know, he still has a real career. I'm not
still like working. Yeah, for sure.
Constantly working, and it's great. I love to see that. But all right, let's go into the story of this this crazy movie. So like it basically these people are being evicted from their apartment, and we find out that Fool, you know, which I think is ironic for his name because he's a pretty smart fucking kid.
For sure.
Who I also met him. I met Brandon Quinton Adams, who is not, I may be a horror guy, but I grew up with like Sandlot and Mighty Ducks and other stuff and, you know, things like that. And Sandlot, that was just one of my favorite movies growing up. So,
It's a great film. I love it too.
Yeah. He's such a nice guy. And so, he was Fool, and, he ends up basically going to, you know, to this house to rob him because that's what his sister's friend. I don't know if it was boyfriend or just friend.
I think just friend, but it's kind of alluded at that they might have something more going on. But yeah, friends, we can say friend.
Yeah, let's say friend, because that's what he calls him. He said, "I'm a friend of Ruby's."
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think I wasn't sure. But there was that one scene where they were was Ruby and him are talking. What was his character's name? I want to say it wasn't like Luther or something. It was I know the actors, Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames, which yeah, I forgot he popped up in this movie. Always love him. Leroy.
That's yeah. Right. I gotta have this on like on IMDb on me so I can remember everybody's name. Right. But yeah, so they want to rob basically, I think it was the landlord, right? You know,
they are the last tenants in a building that the landlord wants to knock down and basically gentrify. Yeah, so they devise a plan to and also his mom, Fool's mom, is sick as well. So, and they want to go rob the landlord to, you know, basically pay off the back rent, I guess, that they owe, and also help Fool's mom get well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So they end up going to help him out and go up to the, to rob these, people who are just, everybody knows they're crazy, you know, like, the, you know, yeah. Like, And it's so strange. Like, the cops should know, you know, more than they do, apparently, with these people. But they, like, you know, I guess they don't want to mess with them because they're rich and they don't, you know, like, they're the rich people in town. They don't want to, like, fuck with them or something, you know, too much. Yeah. But, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that happened in that, in the movie, period, to go. So they go to rob the place. I love that he sets up with coming over with fools dressed up like a Cub Scout.
Cub Scout, yeah.
They keep calling them Bear Scouts. I wonder if that was because, like, Cub Scouts wasn't allowed.
Probably. I would say copyright issues, because, yeah.
So it's Cub Scouts, basically, and he's asking to help, you know, or whatever. Can you help me with this? And, you know, can you buy one of our, or some of our cookies? And the lady ain't have that, because she does not want, she doesn't want him in the house, you know, and seeing
I love the line that she gives him too. She's like, we watch what we eat around here. And I'm like, this lady clearly has body dysmorphia, which comes into play later on in the movie with her daughter. But, like, I just love that line. And she's like, bye. And then leaves.
That's true. Yeah. She's like, you know, we watch what we eat, you know, and then he's like, can I use your bathroom then, ma'am? I really got to go. Which, it was awkward that he was, like, looking at the, like, the water at the time, you know, when she comes out. Like, I understand that's, like, set up for us to understand, like, later it's going to come into play, you know, but, like, when I first saw it, I was like, what is he doing? Like, he looked like he was literally going to, like, take a leak in the thing or something. I don't know what he was planning to do, but
take a swim. I have no idea.
Yeah. So she says, you know, basically, I'm, you know, go away, or, you know, I'm not going to help you out. So he goes back, and Jeremy Roberts is one of the guys. I love him. He's been in a lot of stuff as well. And he's like, no, I'm going to go in there. So he gets in there by pretending to be a gas guy, goes into the house, and he looks around for a while, but they can't, you know, he doesn't come out, goes in, doesn't come out. Right. And, we find out later he got scared to death, but, like, I don't know. It was strange. It's a strange scene because, like, he's laying on the ground and he looks white as a sheet, but his hands all, like, bloody and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the point of that part was. Like, were the people eating his hand or something?
That's what I got from that, is that the people were eating his hand. But yeah, how he died, I'm not sure. I guess maybe scared to death.
That was the thing that they said, you know. The people go, they finally go to break in to the house and go to get in there, and they run across a dog. Well, I guess before then, some other stuff happens. See, there's way too much that happens in this movie. This movie, like, an hour and 40 minutes, but, like, it does not spare any, like, minute at all. Like, there's something always going on in this movie.
It really doesn't let you breathe at all. I never really thought of that until just now. You're right. It doesn't really slow down at all.
Yeah. And I guess that's good, because, like, especially with today's, you know, attention span or whatever, but, you know, it's better to kind of do that. But anyway, they both kind of get in there, they kind of split up, and Leroy goes in there and Fool finds the body, you know, and finds all these people. And he doesn't know what the hell is going on. And that, honestly, was, for the longest time, I would not watch People Under the Stairs because of the trailer to it was terrifying as a kid for me. Like, I thought this movie would be terrifying. And now that when I watched it years later, when I was in my 20s, I was like, what was I scared of? This movie is not terrifying at all. Like, this is funny and fun and like entertaining.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but little things like that scare you when you're a kid. I mean, like, you know, it's like when I used to watch the Michael Jackson Thriller video when he turns into the werewolf, I would like hide behind the couch when I was younger. But then like watching it years later, you're just like, oh, this is just fun. So same thing, you know, I could understand why.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, yeah. And then people under the stairs, the funny thing is they're not even like the monsters. They're, you know, there's maybe like one or two scenes where you're like wondering what they are, if they're attacking, if they're like whatever, right? You know, so if they're going to be a bad, if they're going to be the bad people, you know, but the monsters are really the people's house it is. And those two actors, by the way, did you know that they were both were in Twin Peaks?
Yes, I did, because I love Twin Peaks.
Really?
So I did recognize them after, because I hadn't watched it in a really long time, and I was like, oh my God, I was like, yeah. I was like, mom and dad were both in Twin Peaks. I was like,
As husband and wife in Twin Peaks.
Husband and wife again, that's right, yeah.
So it's really funny. But God, I absolutely love the woman because her character in Twin Peaks is one of my favorite characters. If I remember correctly, she was the one who was a little like off the wall, like thought she was back in high school and stuff, and just a little wacky and weird, if I'm correct.
Yes. That's correct.
And so she was so great in that. And then she's so wonderful in this, like, I think I just watched her recently in a movie called The Attic Expeditions, but she didn't play a wacky character or anything in that one.
She's such a good like character actress. I feel like she's very good at like, you know, going 0 to 100 in 2.5 seconds, which she does a lot in this movie, which I'm kind of here for, you know?
Right.
So, yeah,
definitely. So that stuff's happening. And so the dog, you know, comes after both of them when they get back together. Let's skip ahead to that. And the dog, I absolutely love the dog, Prince. And I was so devastated with the loss of him at one point.
I know. You know?
I talk on a lot of my movies, or a lot of my podcasts and everything, that that's one of like that. Killing a dog is like my least favorite thing in the world. Killing a dog or cat or pet, you know, at all is probably one of my least favorite. Though I will say, you know, sometimes when the dog's coming after you and it's a survival thing, you know,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. So I wasn't too upset, but I was still sort of sad. Like, it's like, could we have figured a way to like make Prince live, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, the dog that they got to play Prince, I feel was like, there were points where it would show it on film and I'd be like, that dog is way too sweet, that's not Cujo. Like, I'd be like, that dog is not menacing enough, you know what I mean?
And like, then he'll do something that is menacing or something, yeah, you know, and go after him. But yeah, you're right, that dog was sweet. There's like one point where the man yells like, shut the fuck up to the dog, and the dog gives him a look like,
wait. So funny.
Don't yell at me. I'm doing my job. Exactly. You know, I'm trying to protect you. I felt terrible for, you know, but Prince was so cute. I really loved him. You know, what was he like, Rottweiler or something? Or
he's a Rottweiler, yeah. And they feed him human flesh too.
I actually learned something today. I was on IMDb looking up trivia, and the woman gave the dog the hand, right? And there was an actual wire, you know, and the dog almost choked on it, you know?
Shit.
And the woman pulled it out of his mouth, you know, which the director, Wes Craven, and other people were not happy with her doing like that, you know, that was risking her hand getting chomped off, you know? But I think she saved that dog's life by, you know, there's like some little wire or something inside from the fake prop hand, you know?
Hey man, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I would have been, you know, okay. If it meant saving the dog's life, you know, and losing my hand, I would do it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm very big on animals. Anyway, the next so Prince is going out there. I love the fact that they had an electric door, electric doorknob. And so I'm like wondering, like, I guess they don't ever leave. It was almost like Home Alone, if you think about it.
Yep.
You know, because they just booby trap their house, you know.
The entire thing, there was like dynamite in places. Yeah, they have the electric door, like there's just
trap kind of doors.
Yeah, trap doors everywhere, like the whole nine yards. Yeah.
It's weird. It's like, this is like a kid's fantasy, not an adult's thing, you know? Like, kids want electric doorknobs and shit, you know?
Yeah, it just shows how, like, deranged they were.
Well, they sort of were like kids in a way. They were brother and sister, exactly. Too. We found that out. They weren't even husband and wife, which to me makes that the grossest.
It's so gross.
It's... I don't see, but then again, it never like shows them like having sex or even kissing. It just, they're calling them mom and dad, which I guess they're supposed to be mom and dad to the kids, you know, that they steal, which is actually based on a true story that Wes Craven was a, but usually that's what he does. Like everything he does is based on something he's read in the news or something. Like even Freddy Krueger was based on somebody in like India or something.
These kids were dying in their sleep. Yeah, basically they were afraid to go to sleep and they were like dying like in their dreams. Yeah, that one I know about. I didn't know like it was like actively something that was like on like a lot of or like all of his movies, you know.
But. Right. So yeah. So this one, there was a couple. And I don't think they're brother and sister, and I don't, you know, or whatever, but there was a couple that ran like a funeral home, and they would in their funeral home, they would actually sneak in, like kidnap kids and, you know, and keep them, you know, underneath the, you know, cellars and stuff. So that was based on, isn't that crazy?
That's some effed up shit.
Yeah. I'm gonna read the exact quote from it about it because it is nuts. Wes Craven was inspired to write this film after reading a real life news story about burglars breaking into a house. When authorities arrived, the burglars had disappeared, but they discovered locked doors and noises coming from behind. Children had been locked up inside the rooms by their parents, never allowed to go outside. And that was one part. And then there was a little bit more. I might be a little wrong on that and heard something else, because there was a Criminal Minds episode about a family that owned a funeral home. It was strange because they did talk about a funeral home too in this. So I think that's really what happened.
I'm sure.
Anyway, that, yeah. So
that's messed up.
Yeah. Like basically if they, you know, and that was the interesting thing is like, they did not want cops snooping around, you know, and they had to make reason why when the cops snooped around that they could, you know, they have all these like gadgets and everything because, and the beauty is they can just say they're rich, you know,
right?
Like they can get away with all of this stuff. They can do all these things because they're rich. They can afford to have dynamite all over the place or or be able to like lock up all their rooms, like with just a push of a button, you know, and everything. Right. It was insane. I mean, just, rewatching this movie is just nuts.
It is. There's that scene too where they like the cops actually like come and she's like, "Dad, the cops are outside," or whatever, and they go to the van and it just shows like, you know, how like rich people can get away with murder basically, like, you know, and they're like, "Is this your van?" And she's like, "Oh no, it was just here," you know. She's like, "Oh, we checked the house, it's fine," you know, and then basically like the cops just leave.
That's actually true. That actually, I was wondering about that because they were like, "Oh, this, what is it? This car was this van was used in a robbery of a liquor store, and the landlord, I believe, owned a liquor store or something.
Yeah.
And so
owned a liquor store, yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, oh, a liquor store, huh? Like, he knew that the guy had, I guess, done his liquor store, which I'm wondering why he didn't get a call about that then, you know? Like,
that, that is true.
Why wouldn't he have known? But but they were like saying that stuff and like, oh, this thing was used in a, because it would have made more sense if they were like, you know, oh yeah, well, damn, they must have done my liquor store that I, you know, that I own or something, because, you know, otherwise, like, literally the car, the getaway car, being at their house and them just saying, oh, the people just ran off, you know,
right. That's not like, that's not suspects at all.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's not.
I mean, you're right. I think the idea was just to say that the white people, white rich people, could get away with murdering people, because all they have to do is say, oh, that's not my van. And the cops will go, okay, yep, you're right. This is not your van. You know,
okay, have a nice day.
Have a nice day. We're going to leave. We're not even going to investigate. You know, we're not even going to look in the van. Nobody looks in the van except them later. I'm like, Why would they just leave a suspect's van? They wouldn't they tow that van or something, do something with it?
It's like, evidence. Yes, they would evidence. Take it away.
This movie, like, I think some of that stuff, I mean, now looking at it, I'm like, man, that's terrible writing right there. Wes Craven.
Yeah. Yeah, you
know. I need the pitch meeting guy to kind of go in there and start breaking this down, and you know, because like, there are probably points where you're like, okay, because I'm not gonna lie, Wes Craven's not the strongest writer, you know.
It's just, no, and I mean, like, yeah, he's not.
Generally, I mean, speaking, he gets other people to write his scripts, you know.
Right, which is better, because if you look at that movie, My Soul to Take, that he did, which I tried to love and I wanted to love it more, I just couldn't do it, and he's not the greatest writer. So
I laughed when they actually did do the prayer in People Under the Stairs.
Oh my god!
They actually had the My Soul to Take, you know, prayer or whatever, and I was laughing because I was like thinking, oh, that reminds me of that shitty movie he did, which could have been so much better, but like, he needed somebody like you know, Kevin Williamson to write it, you know, and him direct it, you know, like, I mean, or what was that airplane movie he did, Red Eye.
Oh, Red Eye. I love Red Eye.
That was, Red Eye was okay, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't
So I take that back. I love the performances in Red Eye, because that movie is just all Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy. So that's what I love about that movie. It's not necessarily the story. It's just like, it's just the two of them the entire time.
Right.
It's like a masterclass in acting, but that's another topic. So anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah. So anyway, I guess we got off the story. I mean, there's much going on. So I can't even, I don't even think we should go through the whole story, because we'll just talk about like a lot of amazing scenes in the movie. So we meet Alice, and did you know AJ Langer, the girl who plays Alice, is now like a queen or something? She's a countess. Yeah,
she married royalty.
Like, yeah. Like, good for her.
Yeah, good for her. She never has to work a day in her life again. Good for her.
If she doesn't want to, you know, a lot of them want to. They don't want to, just, you know, us stupid Americans, we want to continue to go back out and do our passions, you know. But she has acted since she married royalty. She married royalty in 2005, and she was in private practice for a few episodes, for like 14 episodes, and then she was in the show Kristen's Christmas Past, but she was not the lead. I don't think she was Kristen, but she was in a, I guess it's a, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's a Lifetime movie, you know. But
yeah, made for TV type of thing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Lifetime or Hallmark or one of those movies. But anywho, she's there. She doesn't do much anymore, but I remember her from, there's a movie called Arcade that I absolutely love, and she had a small part in that, you know, or whatever, and that's where I remember her from, you know. So when she popped up again, I was like, oh, that's sweet. And it was her first movie.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy because she's very good in this. Like, my favorite part actually is when she's the mom's at the door and basically she's about to shoot the two people. And then you've got like the horde of like, you know, people from the neighborhood come up behind her and she's like, what are you going to do? Shoot all of us? And then she drops from the ceiling and basically just bashes the mom's head into the floorboards. Like, yep. I don't know. That scene always stuck out in my mind with her because I was just like, it's a great oh shit moment. Like,
yeah, because the last time you saw her, she was in like, I guess they were looking around the kitchen for her and she was in that one like area above the cabinets or something. Cabinets. Like, yeah. So she was, which was pretty cool. Like, I don't know how these people figure out, because you saw like a fool coming out of a fucking cabinets. You see, I'm like, they can fit in these fucking little small, I mean, these cabinets. I'm like, damn, right? Must be big cabinets or something. I don't know. It was funny. But then, so I love that scene. I love her jumping down and bashing. But then later, it almost like, what I was kind of sad about was like, all Fool wanted to do was get her out of there. You know, he didn't care, you know, whatever else. She could have just took off, right?
Oh my God, into so the crowd. So many times,
but she stuck around. And so she gave me anxiety throughout the whole time, because even though I had seen it years ago, I don't remember a lot of stuff, you know, like I haven't seen it enough where it's like edged in my brain or anything. So I'm like going, oh my God, is the mom going to kill her right now? And then,
And I think part of her hesitation to leave the house is because she's been like so abused, like since like childhood. So I could see like why she wouldn't, but at the same time, it's so annoying. You have so many outs, just like go, you know, but
just get out of here, you know, like, you know, my other pet peeve, and that happens a lot, and it happens a lot in this movie, actually, it's too much talking when, you know, like, there's a one part where Fool has, like, the shotgun in, you know, and the man is there right in front of him, and he says something to him, and then doesn't shoot, you know? I forgot what his line was, but he says something to him, and the guy just jumps out of the way and pushes him down. And I'm like, motherfucker, it would have been an awesome scene too, had he, the guy opens up the door and then bam, just gets blown, you know, blown by the, well, not blown to bits, but just like shot, you know, or whatever.
Right. No, that's what I meant by blown to bits. Yeah. Not,
yeah. Not. Well, he was later blown to bits, but the,
he was,
I think so. I don't know. It made it look weird. It made it look like he, you know, flew through the house. So, like, I was wondering if he, like, you know, was going to pop up at the end, like, all, like, on fire or something and try to attack everybody. You know, like, that would probably be what, like, would happen now, you know, just because you have to, like, always 100%, like, get the audience to, like, be on their toes or whatever. It's an interesting thought that this movie was made in 91, right before, I think 93 was Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then he did Vampire in Brooklyn.
Also a great movie.
Well, a lot of people hate it. And a lot of people say that was like, that almost killed the horror genre, you know?
I mean, I could see that. Well. I don't know. Personally, I enjoyed it.
A lot of people love that movie. So then you're Vampire in Brooklyn in 95. And I don't think he was like wanting to do Scream. Like at first he didn't want to do Scream. He wanted to get away from horror because, you know, his last one didn't do so well, you know?
Right. Yeah, so, there was that thing that said that he, I remember him, an interview, him saying that he wanted to move away from it, that he originally, he turned it down a lot of times too, Scream.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What's her name? his assistant had to keep, who was actually a big name now, but is the co-creator of Vampire Diaries. With Kevin Williamson.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So she was his assistant, and she kept telling him, "You need to take a meeting with Kevin, and you need to do this, you know, or whatever." And she was also the one who talked Kevin Williamson into doing Vampire Diaries, which he originally didn't want to do.
Because
he didn't want to do Twilight, you know, which understandable. Yeah. Anywho, back to People Under Stairs. It was interesting that this was sort of one of, because he had done Shocker in the 80s. He had done, I think, Swamp Thing, you know, bunch of different horror films that were, I mean, Shocker was not that serious, had some hokiness to it. It's funny. I remember a few years ago when I watched this last time, I was watching it with my brother, and we had tried to watch Shocker, and we both could not get into it, you know?
I've heard kind of like people couldn't get into it or whatever, you know, not negative things, that people were just like, "Oh, I didn't like the movie." So I'd heard that so much that I haven't even watched it or tried to watch it, just because I've heard the same thing from everybody, including you now. So
yeah. Well, I still want to watch it at some point and just see it, you know, because even if I don't like it, you know, I can at least say I've seen it. So I'm probably going to do it for like 80s horror films at some point. Sure. Maybe I'll have you back on for that, and you can finally watch it too and say you've seen it, you know, if anybody, because maybe it's better than we, I just remember watching a few of it going, okay, this is ridiculous. Like this, but that's the kind of movie it is, you know. It's not, right. People Under the Stairs is ridiculous, but it's utterly fun. Like there's just, but it is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? Like this movie is bonkers.
It's beyond bonkers. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like we were talking about earlier, there's no room to breathe in it, but it's like it's such an assault on your senses that like, sometimes you don't have time to like comprehend like what was happening in the movie. You're like, "Oh, did I really just watch that?" And then you're like, oh wait, but now they're like, you know, you know, there's someone like popping up, like trying to drag the mom under the stairs. Oh wait, there's someone like biting her like ankle. Like, oh my God, there's another guy coming out of the, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's constantly something happening. So
I do love like the people under the stairs kind of come at the end, and they swarm, you know, they swarm, what is it, the woman and the mother and everything, mama or mommy and whatever you want to call her, because she had no real name. He did, though. She did call him something. He called him like Eldenson or something, or Elden, something weird. They were like they all like swarmed her and I guess killed her at the end, you know, and everything. And she got, she died, and then he gets blown up, and it's like such a happy, you know, thing, you know, I mean,
yeah, I think they get what they deserve in the end. I think that's a pretty good, like the audience just kind of like, finally they got what they deserve, like stick it to them, you know? So,
well, I mean, who like was the audience really? I mean, obviously the audience is rooting for Fool, you know.
Oh yeah.
But Fool kind of annoy me, like, because he does the stuff that I wouldn't do, you know, like he's a hero, you know. He's like a true definition of a hero, because he not only does he like actually go back into the house.
Well, that's the thing too, is like I kind of like at that part where he gets away, that is like the one thing, it's like, you want to go back? Why the fuck would you go back? Like, stay away, you
and know? He went back to get her out. I mean, he was a definition of a hero. He's trying to get free everybody.
John Moody, that's a very empathetic hero though, because I would have stayed away.
You felt nothing like that. You were not like, nope, I can't do it.
No, I'm like, forget that. I'm sorry. She's done.
You know, I mean, and that's the thing. That's what most people would do, right? Like, Fool won't, you know, he even said something, because like the sister, you know, was reading his tarot cards and was like, you know, I see a lot of, you know, bad stuff happening to you. Don't go back there. Yeah. And he even says, like, I can't help it. You know, like, I feel like if I don't do something, nothing will ever get, you know, done. And I mean, just imagine, you know, Marvel has that what if, like, what if Fool didn't go back?
What would happen? Yeah.
What would have happened? I mean, that, I guess the mother and father would just keep going on. They keep collecting kids. They keep going and doing the stuff that they were doing. And
more people, yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, it came to that point where the people stood up for the community, stood up and were like, we don't like you. But like at that point, it's already too late, like, you know, or whatever. I mean, you know, if they had just done that, the girl wouldn't have gotten out ever, you know.
No.
There wouldn't have been, no, because they were so damn good at hiding everybody that the cops couldn't find them, you know.
No.
There is that scene where the cops did see the room, and they still had a good excuse for it, you know, like.
Yeah, they were like that. They were so good at like deferring away from everything.
Yeah. So everybody, all the cops literally thought there was whatever. And I just, whatever happened to the man, I forgot his name. He was the helper. Do you have the one that said he would get take the money, Grandpa Booker, I guess it was. Oh my God, that was Bill Cobbs. Okay, I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He's in like Demolition Man and a ton of other movies. All right. He was so good when they, like, you know, when he knocked on the door, it was like, this is the police.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then he like stops and he like pushes his way in
Pushes the way in. It was like, look, you're going to have to listen to us, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever happened to him? Cause he did kind of go inside with the sister into the house. And then
they do. And it doesn't really, yeah. I don't know if it doesn't really tie up that loose end. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, like whatever happened to him? Did he like just leave the house or something? Because he's not at the end or anything with everybody there watching the house get blown up. I don't think, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I would think he would have gotten out. But yeah, it's never touched on. So
yeah, it was funny because I was watching the movie and there's so much going on. So when the woman is being attacked by all the people, all the swarms, I'm like, whatever happened to the, you know, whatever happened to the man? Is he still down in the basement? And he was, but like, I was like, or did he get killed? Did I miss it? They're like, I blink and like something, right? But, you know, thankfully, no, he was literally down there dealing with Fool while they were up there, you know, dealing trying to get. But that scene was most badass scene I've ever seen in a movie. That's when so all awesome. The people are coming out of the cabinets and all the, you know, ground and everything. They're just coming up and they're swarming, you know, swarming the woman. And I'm just like, that is amazing. I like that. I love that scene.
Yeah.
Were you saying something?
No, I was just like, yeah, I'm thinking about it. Like, yeah, when it happens, like initially when she has like the daughter, like on the stairs and then like is about to stab her. And then like, there's like the punch through the stairwell. And then, yeah, they're like coming out, like, one by one or whatever. So funny. She's like, don't touch me. And it's like, no, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, like you know. And then she comes after the girl, you know, because she says like, you hurt mama.
Yeah, right.
I'm like thinking she did more than that, bitch.
She,
you know,
sure did.
She's like, you hurt mama. And then she runs at her with the knife. And or what? No, she says, you're not my real mama.
Yeah, you're not my remote. Right, because that's, yeah, that's like,
the boy said it to her, and she's like, well, you're burning hell, which is like their, I guess, I almost felt like that was a tagline of the fucking movie, because that said so much. It's like,
it is, you know, yeah.
It's almost like, was it Halloween, the new Halloween movie with Evil Dies Tonight, you know?
Oh, yeah.
After a while,
yeah,
you get sick of hearing it. You're like, stop. Like
someone, yeah, it's like, please. And then, you know, with like, it's like, there were so many like crosses and religious artifacts around that house. It's like, we get it.
Burn we it get out. It. You're a Christian who loves your brother way too much, and
way too much.
You know,
what is this? Flowers in the Attic? It's just people under the stairs. Is this a sequel to Flowers in the Attic?
Maybe, like, you know, maybe that's where the like the idea in a way, because, you know, like, isn't that like, wasn't that the thing, is Flowers in the Attic, like somebody was stuck in the attic or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, it was about a brother and sister who were like stuck in the attic, and basically like their crazy mom was like, wouldn't let them come down. And then
this is like a sequel.
Maybe. I think so. I think it's finally like, once they kill the mom, and then now they're like they're in the house now, and that's like the brother and sister have a kid, or what, I don't know. Yeah.
They steal like, kids and then put them in under the stairs, you know.
Put them under the stairs as opposed to in the attic. Yeah.
Yeah. So the next movie will be I don't know, something else below like, you know. Flowers, yeah, in the attic, people under the stairs, giraffes in the basement.
Giraffes, I was gonna say, yeah, like in the basement. Yeah.
Something in the basement. I don't know. We have to keep going lower and lower.
Lower and lower and lower. It's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's how sequels are these days anyway. But I don't know. This was such a wackadoodle weird fucking movie, and kind of made you like, I know, like, I felt so much anxiety watching this movie. Like, I never thought a movie could like get me all like worked up like that at times. Like the dog chasing him all the time, I'm like, oh my god, is the dog gonna get them? Like, are they gonna hurt the dog? You know, and they do.
Yeah, and it is anxiety inducing. And also, because like what you were saying about the writing earlier, there's just some lines in there that are anxiety inducing too. It's like, oh my god. I wrote one of them down that Ving Rhames says actually before they go in the house. It might be my favorite line in the entire movie. He goes, maybe the president is going to make me secretary of pussy. Like, that move, that line right there, I don't know why, but that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my entire life. And it's so out of left field. It's like, why is this here?
I feel like Ving Rhames like ad-libbed that, you know, because I don't see Wes Craven writing that. I just don't see him writing that. Like, I don't see him like typing on his little computer, 2C Apple computer or whatever at the time, and saying, you know, maybe the president will, you know, make me secretary of pussy, you know. Like, I just don't see him doing that. Like, I don't know. He's sadly, we will never know unless somebody actually, you know, like Ving Rhames might be able to tell us. He's still around. Maybe he can, you know, he's still doing Mission Impossible movies, apparently. Just look that up. I was like, good god,
I'll let you know.
He's doing he's continuing to work, and that's a fantastic thing, you know.
Yeah.
I love him in Pulp Fiction, you know.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. So every time I see him, I think of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I mean, I like him in like most of the stuff he's done. Yeah, I don't know. I recently watched him in what did I watch him in recently where I was like, it's like he was really good in that. Ugh, again, okay, I'm having a senior moment with my brain, but anyway, so yeah, no, I don't think he would have maybe he wouldn't have said that. Who knows? I don't know. But that's my favorite line in the movie.
Right, no. Yeah, so He's one of those actors that I like. Every time I see him, all I can think of is Pulp Fiction, though. Like, so you know how many, so many actors you can just think of, like, one movie specifically, even if you've seen like a million movies with them, you're still like, oh man. And that kind of sucks, because like one of the scenes in that, in Pulp Fiction, is the rape scene, which is not what I think of. I think of him from like him talking to Bruce Willis and shit, you know, or whatever, giving him that lecture.
Right.
That's the main thing I think of when I, you know, it's like, you remember in the fifth, your Wasco was down or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I have to rewatch that movie too, because I haven't seen that one in a while. That's another good one. But
Tarantino, and I'm not gonna lie, like, I love Tarantino. I think he's amazing. But yeah, unless I'm watching it with somebody, if I'm watching a Tarantino film alone, I cannot get past like the first hour. Like, after that, I just can't watch the rest of the movie. I tried watching Django Unchained. I love it, but it's just after like an hour and a half, and it's like a 2.5 hour long movie or whatever, I just kind of get, you know, kind of like, eh, okay. Like, I'm kind of getting tired. I'm, you know, moving on, you know, like, yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I feel like that's the problem with films these days, is they're getting too long. And
so long. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I have yet to watch, like, I really want to. I want to watch the new Dune movie, but at the same time, I'm just like, it's almost 3 hours. I'm going to have to, like, hunker down. That's going to be one that I'm really going to have to, like, be in the right headspace to watch, you know. But anyway, back to People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so it was one of those things where, yeah, so that movie was just, I mean, People Under the Stairs just had so much craziness to it and everything, that at the end of the day, like, there's just too much to talk about, you know.
It's a lot to talk about. Yeah, I don't know. You could go on with this, like, this podcast for like 2 hours, and there's like always there's something you could
bring up. But we are almost at the end of our hour, so let's sort of kind of wrap it up. Like, is this something like? So you said you picked this movie because, you know, you really enjoyed it before, and you'd rent it, you know, with your friends and stuff and watch it. How many times have you think you've seen it?
So I actually thought about this. I think maybe collectively we would have watched this movie like at least more than 10 times, because sometimes I would watch it on my own too. So, I mean, like, I watched it a lot, but then I didn't really watch it again for like years and years, and like I had to go revisit it, but like at least more than 10, I would say. I mean, I loved this film as a kid. This one, I don't know, just really, 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 I guess because it is so batshit crazy, that was like the appeal,
right? You know?
That was like what it was like. And I also, I liked, you know, I liked some of the, like, there isn't a lot of gore in it, but like some of the effects with, like, you know, the flesh, and like, I think like the way that they did the makeup with on the kids under the stairs and stuff like that, was like cool too. I don't know. Yeah. And I think cause it was starring a kid, maybe I identified with it more.
Right. Because as you know, when in 91, you know, we were kids, you know, watching this movie. And we were, or I wasn't watching this movie when I was a kid. Now that I know like all about it and everything, I wish I watched it as a kid, but I don't know, maybe I would have been terrified of it, because like there are some certain scenes where the people under the stairs grabbing them and stuff, that would have terrified me as a kid, because I would have thought about me being there, you know, as a kid, and like if something was grabbing me like that, I'd be terrified.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like there are terrifying moments in it. I remember like there were moments that we would laugh like out of like to break the tension, because like this movie does have scary moments in it, I think, you know. So I remember that. I remember laughing at it a lot, but it wasn't laughter that was like because we thought it was funny. It's probably laughter that was like nerve inducing, you know what I mean?
Right. Like you don't know if you should be laughing or not, you know, kind of thing. Maybe. I don't know. I like when I was watching, I was just like, I was laughing because there were certain things that were sort of designed to be funny, you know, in it. Wes Craven did have a good sense of humor, you know, with things. I mean, you laughed at the secretary of pussy line.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't even think that was meant to be funny. You know, I think that was meant to be like, you know, this is what this guy thinks of, you know, of himself, you know, or whatever. You know, it was so funny because the funniest thing too is Fool talked for the audience for a while, right? There's that one point where he's just like, you know, oh, fuck this, you know, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to like leave. And then he goes back because he remembers them telling him, like, you know, I guess you're too chicken shit for this job, you know, that kind of thing. So he has to have a little bit of his pride, you know, and he's got to be like the tough kid. And I mean, he becomes an even tougher kid, you know. He finds some of those coins, some of those gold coins, and he still goes back, you know, to be the hero. And to, you know, none of us would do that, you know. I remember I was talking to my former roommate, and we were going around in LA, and we were talking about would you do this to save somebody's life or something, you know, like, would you do this, would you do that? And I forgot what it was exactly. Like, there was something like, would you jump off the building in order to risk somebody, you know, to save somebody, something like that. And honestly, my thought was like, fuck no. Like, like, you know, cause like, what good am I to like everybody else in the world if I saved one person's life? And now this is why I'm not like destined to be a hero, you know. A hero risks his life in order to save other people, you know. These are superheroes or whatever too, like, these are people that are amazing in the world, and that's exactly what this kid is, you know. He's the exact opposite of what we are, you know. Yeah. we wouldn't go back in there. We would just be like, okay, well, she's fucked, but you know, I mean, can't worry about her.
Yeah, that crazy bitch. Yeah.
What are they gonna do when she got to be like in her 20s or 30s? Like, they can't keep her like that, like, as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, once she got to be at a better age, do they set her free or do they kill her? Like, I was wondering what they would do.
Maybe she would rebel and kill them. I don't know, or attempt to. Who knows? Like,
but we'll never get that idea because Fool had to go back and kill them, you know, just to make sure they were dead or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but I do want to see that What If episode though. Now you've got that in my brain, and I'm kind of like, I need that
idea in your head. Well, maybe tonight you'll go to sleep and you'll have a dream about, you know, the What If of that's your alternate, you know, dimension. You know, the Watcher is taking care of you on that.
Right. You know,
the people under the stairs giving you that glimpse of what it would have been like if Wes Craven went with. Because now I'm like wondering if he had like alternate, you know, takes on it. You know what I mean? You ever like watch a movie and you're like thinking, I wonder if the writer, like, what if the writer did this instead of that? Like, you know,
all the time, yeah.
Like, what if the writer, what if Wes Craven decided, you know, okay, well, he's not going to go in there, because the problem is it was only an hour, like 10 minutes, you know,
yeah.
They had still 30 minutes left. And I was like, Jesus, usually it's about 20 minutes left. They had 30 minutes left to like wrap everything up. And it go into the third act, which was set up to be the showdown, you know, and everything, yeah, and stuff. So, you know, it was actually also very smart how he did it too, because there was that line where there were like, they had all cops investigating, because he set that up. And later when they kicked all the cops out finally and they were alone, they're like, I wonder about the back door, you know, because I couldn't guard it the whole time. You know, I wonder if anybody snuck in. And I think they knew he snuck in somehow or whatever, or knew that if he was going to, that's how he would have got in, you know. They weren't dumb at all either. No. You know, they were very smart. So Fool's No Fool, and neither are those people. And that's what makes it sort of the Home Alone thing, you know, where.
I think it's interesting too, really quickly, like with the tarot cards at the beginning, they nicknamed him Fool, and it's she flips over the Fool card, which it was just, this was a thought I had in my head. I was like, well, the in tarot, like the Fool is represented by the astrological sign of Pisces, which I'm like, well, was Fool a Pisces? Like, I don't know. Maybe he was. Like,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know if that was why. I mean, was that?
No, that wasn't.
I wasn't. Why did she, like, you know, I guess she can call him Death. You know, I mean, what other tarot card is there that represents a person? You know,
nothing really. I don't think. Maybe, yeah. Like other ones, like maybe the Empress or the Hierophant or whatever. That doesn't fit as well. Like Fool. If you're like looking at it, because I mean, like tentatively, he is kind of a fool because he's going into this situation, like, you know.
He shouldn't have been there to begin with, you know, right. Because he's just a fucking kid. Shouldn't be robbing, you know, these adults, you know, and especially once he noticed how much security they had for that house, like bars on the windows and everything was like very secure. Like, you know, at that point you can't, you know, you shouldn't rob it. There was that movie, I never watched it, but they made the sequel to it and it got a lot of flack, the sequel, but that one where they break into that the blind man's house and then
Don't Breathe.
And yeah, that was sort of like this, I guess, in a way, without people under stairs or whatever, but like, you know, the idea of breaking into somebody's house and then all of a sudden you're trying to fight for your life to get out. You know, I wonder how much of Don't Breathe was a little inspired by this movie.
I watched Don't Breathe and, you know, I liked it, but there was, I liked it up to a point because there was like something, there was some ridiculous shit that happened to it towards the end. But like the initial like setup was very much like People on the Stairs. It was, I would think it would be heavily inspired by it because, yeah, it was kind of the same plot, different aspects of like characters and whatever, but like very, very same setup for sure.
There you go. So there you go. It probably was. I mean, a lot of films are inspired by other films without actually being like a sequel or a, you know, reboot of it or whatever. I remember hearing that Wes Craven before his death was thinking about doing a TV series of People Under Stairs, you know. I thought that would have been cool, but like, I almost feel like this movie shouldn't be touched because I just feel like doing anything else to it, either, you know, rebooting it or like, you know, or even doing a sequel just would just sort of kind of lessen what has already been done, you know, for it. Like, it's already a pretty damn good movie.
It is, and I don't think it should be touched. I think like there's certain movies that definitely shouldn't be touched. Like there are a lot of reboots that came out that, like, I don't know, it's just like rebooting, rehashing. It's like, where are the original ideas? Maybe we don't have any more left, you know, who knows? Like, it's just,
well, I mean, it's easier for Hollywood to say, you know, this movie, like People Under Stairs, has a following, let's reboot it, than, you know, taking something original and not knowing whether or not it's going to do good, you know?
Yeah, because it's all about money. It's more about money now than it ever has been. So, like, I get it, but, like, at the same time, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a, like, absolutely all 100% about pre-awareness. And when this movie was made, there was nothing like it, you know?
No.
So it goes to show you that if you do make something like this that's original, not like this as in like this movie, but, you know, make an original film that maybe, you know, it will do good. But, you know, I don't know how well it did in the box office or whatever. I just always remember, do you remember going to Movie Scene, the video store? I used to work there too.
And yeah, you know where I worked? I worked at Movie Time.
Movie Movie time. Yeah, that was...
It was right behind the 7-Eleven.
That's right. Over by, like, right down the street from the bowling alley, right?
It was down the street from the bowling alley. And yeah, I remember you working at Movie Scene.
Yeah. I'm working at Movie Scene, and I would always see, like, people on their stairs as a D or a VHS, you know, copy of it or whatever, and just never watched it until, like, years later, you know, or whatever. But I'd always see that the... You know, they had some really good cover art, which is another thing that I feel like is lacking these days, because like cover art is more like the same generic shit these days, and it's kind of frustrating, but you know, it is what it is.
So yeah, some of these posters nowadays are just like garbage. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, but
it's problematic.
Right. Well, I mean, what can you do? You know, I mean, all I'm happy about is when I see a lot of my friends who make independent films and their poster art looks amazing, you know, and gives like good throwbacks to the original stuff. So there you go. Yeah. Well, thank you, Matt. This is awesome. I really appreciate you coming out here and doing this with us for 90s horror films. And we'll definitely have you back for next season for sure. And we'll do another 90s horror film that you probably really enjoy, or maybe one you haven't seen. Who knows?
Yeah. Why don't we just do Urban Legend? Because I have a lot to say about that movie. No,
okay, let's plan for that. Because I don't have anybody signed up for that, but that like I didn't want to do that this year because later I want to do Scream, and for the like the finale, you know. Yes. So yeah. So I definitely want to do Urban Legend. I want to do Valentine. I want to do all the Faculty and all the, you know, stuff like that. So we'll definitely have you back for Urban Legend. Cause yeah, Urban Legend is one of my sort of ones. My go-to movies that I love to kind of used to love to watch. I don't know. I need to buy the, There's a really good I think Scream Factory or somebody
put it out. It's like a Blu-ray with like a lot of extras and stuff.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'll have to get that before we do our show next year, because then I can season, you know, and whatnot. But thank you so much, and everybody else, thank you guys for listening. Join us next week for From Dusk Till Dawn, which will be a little fun. You know, once again, one of those sort of at that time period, you know, sort of like post-Scream kind of things, you know, or whatever movies that Dimension was doing. But thank you so much, and hope everybody enjoys this. Bye.